here with the dragons, are we back up in here? Spit fire from the back of your ears, coming straight from the belly of the beast that's in the back of your ear, whispering shit that's got you clapping your rear. This panic and fear is damaging. Radical stages of behavior that's got you on a scatting, looking for the big body. Grappling fans, what's going on? It is your host, Brent, here with another episode of We Are NXT UK. We're going to be talking about the final episode from the Brentwood tapings. That's going to be coming up here in a little bit. I am flying solo here this week. My normal co-host, Lee, was feeling ill, so he's not going to be joining me. And it's just worked out this way where it's just going to be me talking about wrestling, hopefully keeping you entertained. I'm going to do my best. This is not my first time flying solo on the show. So as long as I can brave the awkwardness of making statements with nobody to respond to them and nobody to bounce ideas off of, we'll make it through. Here we go, but we got some other topical items to discuss really quick before we discuss the episode. Kaylee Ray, NXT UK Women's Champion. She is the final member of Team Shayna at this year's NXT TakeOver War Games in the first Women's War Games match. I got it. This build-up has been awesome. This is the most excited I think I've ever been for Survivor Series weekend or Survivor Series in general. And honestly, this is an event that I've always been such a huge fan of with the Survivor Series. Like growing up, it was always a favorite of mine. I loved the team aspect and the, you know, the unpredictable nature of not knowing who was going to get eliminated, who was going to survive, and what the, you know, what it could come down to 5-on-2 and 4-on-2 or 3-on-3, whatever, like just the different possible combinations and the different odds that people could face. I've always loved the classic Survivor Series. My first WWF at the time pay-per-view that I attended in person was the 1991 Survivor Series, actually, here in Detroit, and I had just turned 7 years old, and I was a diehard Hulkamaniac at the time, and I remember when I found out that the show was going to be in my hometown, I was so excited. And then when they announced that Hulk Hogan was going to be defending the championship, which this was, it was the first time ever in Survivor Series history that there was a title match, or even a non-elimination match. And I was really excited then too. And I remember thinking, oh God, just don't let it be Undertaker. And it was Undertaker. And I was scared to death of The Undertaker as a little 6-year-old, 7-year-old. And so when Undertaker beat him, I just started crying. And so Survivor Series holds a special and also dreadful place in my heart. But this is, going back to the original point, this is like the most excited I've ever been for this event. The addition of NXT to this just makes it so much more special, and it really makes me as a viewer really care a lot about the brand warfare thing, because now you've got this really kind of believable story about the developmental people and the rising stars, kind of the stars of the future, coming out here and trying to prove themselves to the main roster, and I just love it. And the women are carrying this. I mean, the women are carrying wrestling in general at this point, and it's been that way for a couple of years, but they're really carrying this whole feud. The NXT War Games match is just, the NXT Women's War Games match is, it's the talk of wrestling, in my opinion, right now. And I don't know if that has a lot to do with the fact that a lot of people who I do follow on social media are, you know, like-minded about women's wrestling and whatnot. I try to avoid, you know, just preaching to the choir or, you know, just screaming into my own void. I think there's, like, an even better term for what I'm trying to describe here, but, the words on the tip of my tongue. But anyway, This feud is just awesome. This battle for brand supremacy and for and there's all this overlap too, because for the first time ever we're getting triple threat Survivor Series matches. Now, full disclosure, one of the backyard feds I was in a long, long, long time ago, we did a triple threat elimination tag match, and it was awful because we were awful. But it's so cool to see that now, that to be able to anticipate that, and I'm so excited for that. But then you also have the War Games show the day before, so there are going to be some tired people come Monday. don't be surprised, I would say, if there's a few people who end up kind of not being very physical on Raw. Adam Cole is going to be... the whole Undisputed Era, I think, are going to be just dead next week. Luckily, they'll have a few more days of recovery time before the next episode of NXT. But to get back to the point, Kaylee Ray is joining Io Shirai, Bianca Belair, and Shayna Baszler, the team captain, to face Mia Yim, Candice LeRae, Tegan Nox, and Captain Rhea Ripley. I am so excited for this match and for this show, for this whole weekend coming up. I'm excited, and this is also typically the point in time of the year where things really start to ramp up with WWE and get really exciting as we go from Survivor Series and into the Royal Rumble and then the road to WrestleMania. So I really hope they can sustain this momentum and keep up with a lot of this stuff, and I'm calling it right now that my pick to win this year's Women's Royal Rumble is Rhea Ripley. Just want to put it out there. In some other significant news, CM Punk, after 5 years of random chance-filling arenas during Raw and SmackDown, CM Punk has returned to WWE in, not necessarily in the capacity that a lot of people may have wanted him to, but he's back. CM Punk has joined the team on WWE backstage, and he's going to be talking wrestling with Renee Young and Booker T and others. So this is exciting, and I don't care how they try to spin this or what anybody says, this totally opens the door for CM Punk to make a return to the ring in WWE, even if it is a short-term program or even just for a one match, a WrestleMania match. The door is so wide open. I think it would be awesome if, and I can't remember off the top of my head how old Punk is now. I believe he's like 40 or 41. I can't remember, and I should have probably looked that up if I was going to bring up his age. But I know that he's in good shape, and he lives a straight edge lifestyle, as do I. And, he's clean, takes care of himself and whatnot. He's pretty healthy, so he could have a number of years left of very competitive, entertaining in-ring if he wanted to. But the idea of CM Punk at a WrestleMania again, I mean, I can't believe we're even talking about this right now. I'm just thinking about the different opponents he could have. I mean, I know that they kind of tease it a little on Twitter with him and Seth Rollins. That would be an awesome match, but there's other people too. I mean, like him and AJ Styles would be a great WrestleMania match. I'm trying to think of other people who like have come in like after him, who would, after he left, that would be like a really good opponent. But I mean, like maybe like an NXT person, maybe like an Adam Cole. I know they've done it before, but like him and Daniel Bryan would be great. There's so much potential. I mean, maybe the most appropriate opponent would be like Triple H, but I mean, these days Triple H is very much, I think, seen in a, like a babyface light by the audience, particularly for everything he's done with NXT and whatnot. So I don't know, but there's just a lot of possibilities. Finn Balor, CM Punk and Finn Balor. How awesome would that be? CM Punk and Johnny Gargano. I mean, it's just, you just start running the names and it's like, oh my God, like all of this would be amazing. So I sincerely hope that he does make a return to the ring. And if he doesn't, it's okay. It's cool. He's on WWE TV again. It's always good to see bridges be mended. And those were some... I mean, he torched the bridge from both sides on that one. But, you know, they always say that it's an open door policy and people are welcome back and they can always work things out. And this is, I think, probably the greatest example that we may have ever seen of that being just the case. So... echo chamber. That was the word I was looking for earlier. When talking about women's wrestling, I try to avoid just speaking into my own echo chamber with other like-minded individuals. You don't learn anything that way, and you don't grow, and you don't learn to really defend your points that way or whatever. But I truly do believe that women are carrying wrestling and have been for a couple of years now. But exciting news, though, either way. NXT UK are in Hull this weekend doing the what I can only assume would be the final tapings of 2019. There are a number of people on my timeline who are there right now, including some people who actually traveled from other countries to be there for the taping. So that's pretty cool. I did manage to avoid almost all the spoilers. But I did catch wind of one thing, and I'm not going to spoil it right now. I do want to talk about it at the end of the show. So, right now, we're just going to get into this week's episode of NXT UK real quick. And then, after all of that stuff, after we're taking care of all the formalities at the end with the social medias and blah, 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 I do want to make a point about the one thing from the tapings that I do want to talk about. So, first match, Kaylee Ray versus Zaya Brookside, and this was a fun little match, and it was a match that I was looking forward to as soon as they announced it. I've been really high on Zaya Brookside since I first saw her at the Mae Young Classic a year ago. I think she has just such a bright future, and I know that I've been really, carrying the torch and kind of driving the Brookside bandwagon on the show. But she did come up short in the match. It was a really good, fun technical match. And Kaylee Ray won with the Gory Bomb? The fact that I can't even get the name of the move right. But Kaylee Ray wins with her finisher, 1-2-3. Now, from a booking point of view, though, I'm a little bit disappointed. And the reason I'm disappointed is because... this is yet again another non-title match that we've seen Kaylee Ray in. And forgive me if I'm incorrect here, but if memory serves, Kaylee Ray hasn't had a title defense yet. The only matches I can remember on NXT UK since she's won the championship was the match with Tegan Nox, which was absolutely fucking incredible. And then this match just now with Zaya Brookside, both of which were non-title. But both of which Kaylee Ray won. And with the Tegan Nox one, it's fine. I mean, you know, the Tegan Nox one was good. That was okay for those purposes. Tegan had just come back. It's perfectly understandable that she wouldn't necessarily get a championship match right away. This is not the Attitude Era, thank God. But now you've got another match here that's non-title. So Kaylee Ray hasn't successfully defended the championship yet since winning it. And that was back in August 31st when she beat Toni Storm for it at TakeOver Cardiff. So it's kind of, even though she's chalking up victories, I feel like it almost takes a little bit away from the prestige of the championship. Maybe not the prestige really, but it's like... In with the Tegan match, fine, but like with this match, where there was a bit of a feud and whatnot leading into it and some story built, why not just make it a championship match? And if it was non-title, I was really expecting Zaya to win here and set up probably a future championship opportunity. So that didn't happen, so now it just begs the question of, well, what's next? Like, what's next for Kaylee Ray? What's next for Zaya Brookside? Like, what's next in this women's division? Ginny and Jazzy have been kind of quiet. I know they're building Piper Niven up, so that's that's the only person who I can see right now is the next logical challenger for Kaylee Ray, just based on the events from the last, you know, this set of tapings. It seems like Piper Niven's going to be the next one to go after Kaylee Ray, so it's going to be an all Scotland battle for the NXT UK Women's Championship. But it makes me feel like Zaya's push is a little bit diminished here. Like, it's kind of like they kind of like are kind of start stop on her. I feel like she kind of you know, if she takes 5 steps forward, then she has to take 2 steps back. You know, so she's still progressing. She's still making, you know, moving up the ranks and still improving. Her stock is still climbing, but you know, she kind of needs that big defining statement win still, and I'm hoping it comes soon. But regardless, it was still a really good, fun match, and I enjoyed it. Looking forward to seeing more of both of them in the future. The second match that we saw was Liguero versus Travis Banks. This is a rematch from a few weeks ago where they ended the match in that infamous double pin out of that backslide. It was a really odd-looking pin. If you didn't see it, I recommend checking it out. I've never seen it before. So that was cool. That's something great about NXT UK, is there's always something unique, always something I've never seen. The talent is very innovative. The matches are always very fun. But so this was a really good match. It was hard hitting but it was still like very respectful. Like, even though they were really going at it, and you could tell they both really wanted that win, they kept it respectful. It was, you know, nobody stooped to any underhanded tactics, which is something that you could kind of see in a situation like this where you get two baby faces really going at it for the win. You almost kind of would expect to see one of them maybe stoop to some kind of questionable tactics or whatnot. But that didn't happen. But what did happen was they teased the double pin too in this match. They went back to that spot, got the kick out. I love that. I love the continuity, the storytelling, the long form storytelling. Would you go back to that spot? But this time there was a kick out at two. It would have been really funny if they would have ended the match the same way again. that would have been great. That would have been such an excellent troll job. To go ahead and just end the match on a double pin again in the same move, no less. Maybe it's like, oh, it's the inescapable double pin. But Joseph Connors made his presence felt in this contest. So Connors is one who had kind of been in a position of where it felt like he was kind of being used as enhancement talent for a long time. And now recently, over the last few months, he's picked up a few wins and kind of got himself really, you know, on the map where it's like, okay, we feels like there's something coming for this guy. And that is exactly what it looks like we're getting. He did interfere in the match. Both competitors were on the outside of the ring, fighting with each other, struggling to get back into the ring and whatnot. Travis Banks got back into the ring, and while he and the referee had their backs turned, Joseph Connors came out, laid out Liguero on the outside, chucked him into the ring. Banks didn't see it, and he ended up getting the win over Liguero. So and then Joseph Connors ran in and attacked Banks as well. So there was there's not any shenanigans involved here. There's no secret Travis Banks heel turn or anything like that. This was a kind of more angle than match at the end of the day, or it kind of two angles really, because you had the Liguero Banks little mini angle kind of get resolved for the most part. Well, I guess it could even keep going, because Liguero could be like, hey, you know, I got attacked. We need to go to a third match. Maybe they will do a series here. I mean, it writes itself if they wish to do so. The matches have been entertaining, so why not? But Joseph Connors laid out both guys, got on the microphone, and said that, he should have been here and there. He should have been going for championships. He should have been on TakeOver. He should have been given all these opportunities, but he hadn't, so now he is going to take them himself, or something to that along those lines. he's wearing the NXT UK Championship Tournament t-shirt, which was an event that happened like 3 years ago. Which is kind of cool, actually. I would like to get my hands on one of those shirts as well. And if I had one, I would probably wear it almost every day too. So we'll have to see how all of these stories unfold going forward. And everybody who was at the Hall tapings probably has a good idea of how they do turn out. The main event, Tyler Bate versus Cassius Ohno. The build was Cassius Ohno is calling himself the greatest British wrestler on the planet. And he said he is going to get rid of British Strong Style once and for all. Not even Imperium was able to do that. But Tyler Bate says no. And these two had a terrific main event. Again, in another... something else very innovative and different and unique and not seen very often. Tyler Bate was selling his ear, you know, like the whole time. Like his ear canal, maybe his eardrum. He would clearly be kind of losing his equilibrium throughout the match and just kind of behaving in like sort of like a dizzied manner as if he'd like maybe ruptured an eardrum or something. Great, great stuff. I mean, you just don't see enough like that. At least over here in the United States, like, you know, we wouldn't get stuff like that. So much wrestling here would just be so straightforward. And it's just simple stuff like that where I just love this show so much. I've become such a huge fan of, and I want to start watching more of the independent stuff too. I mean, I know everybody raves about Progress, and so I need to start watching more Progress, and I've been trying to watch more Riptide like on YouTube and stuff, and I absolutely love what I'm seeing from Riptide. So, you know, just nothing but love for the whole British wrestling community and the entire British wrestling scene. And you know, it's been a lot of fun to kind of be able to become a very small part of the British wrestling community. Phenomenal match though. Tyler Bate was trying to get the Tyler Driver 97 applied throughout the whole match, and Cassius Ohno would continue to take over and cut him off. Bate would make a comeback, try to hit his finisher, no go. Couldn't do it, you know, and there's quite a size difference between these two. But at the end of the match, Bate caught Cassius Ohno in a compromised position. He was able to get him up on his shoulders. And we got the Spin Strong Boy. Or the Big Spin Boy. Whatever you want to describe it as. But big inverted airplane spin. Into an airplane spin bomb. And then Tyler Bate summoned all of his strength. Got Cassius Ohno into the Tyler Driver 97. And in another nice... attention to detail, got his feet over the shoulders of Cassius Ohno to make sure that the pin was like a genuine pin. And I love stuff like that because it'd be so easy to just hit the move and stay the way you land and just pick up the pin, even though the guys could pretty easily like just roll his shoulder over. But it's a nice way to show that you, as the person doing the move, hitting the finisher, you gotta still put the effort in to make sure that your opponent's shoulders are down. And it also is nice for your opponent because you're not like kind of, you know, people overuse the term burying or buried these days, but you know, it's helping keep your opponent credible, which is important. It's those little details that just make everything. And so Tyler Bate picked up the win. Great way to close out the show. Great way to close out the episode, and great way to close out the televised portions, anyway, of the NXT UK tapings in Brentwood in Essex. I'm sure there was dark main event or something, but I don't know what it was. And I didn't look it up because I was trying to avoid spoilers. I'd be shocked if it wasn't Pete Dunne in some capacity, but... and I'm wondering out loud now if he was there in Hall this weekend. I don't really want to find out. I'll ask someone specifically that, maybe Day Owen or Liam, because they're playing NXT UK taping bingo during the tapings, which is absolutely hilarious. But that was the episode for November 13th, 14th, November 14th. We're on Thursdays now, guys. That was the show, November 14th. So I do want to talk about something else, though. So if you don't want anything spoiled, go ahead and pause this now, head out now, but please don't forget to leave like and subscribe and leave a nice rating and whatever, and you know, don't forget to follow us on social medias. You can follow the podcast at We Are NXT UK on Instagram or Twitter, and you can follow me at Brent FFF on Instagram or Twitter. There's also the We Are NXT UK Facebook. I don't know how much Kyle West has been updating that recently. I'll have to get on him about that. This podcast was started by Kyle West, and you can follow him at Kyle Thomas West on Twitter and Instagram. And he's also the one who runs the We Are NXT UK Twitter and Instagram accounts. So if you have any grievances with me that you don't want to tell me about, you can just take them up with him. Be like, hey, what is that asshole doing talking about British wrestling? He doesn't know shit. But he's the guy you'd want to talk to so that he can kick me off of the show. But so thank you for listening to the episode. Thanks for hanging out with us. And now to get into the news. So if you don't want to hear about the news, this is your last chance to opt out. I'm going to give you 3 seconds. Okay. Big news coming out of the NXT UK Hall tapings is that we are getting NXT UK TakeOver Blackpool 2. It had been long speculated by our own Kyle Thomas West that we would get another TakeOver Blackpool, and we are. So that's phenomenal. So we're going to get, it looks like, some established like TakeOver lineages here, kind of how WWE, well, NXT will frequently go to Chicago or New York. Now they've been to Toronto twice. So there's some cities where they have like TakeOver Chicago 2, 3, and Brooklyn got 2, 3, and 4. Like, so it's great to see. So, and I'm going to hope, and I know this is, it's a long time from now, but I'm going to hope that in the summer we'll get TakeOver Cardiff too, because that was a great venue and a great city for the NXT UK. But so that's coming. I believe what I saw was the date was January 12th, which is a little funny because I believe it was January 12th last year too. And if that's the case, that means that it's going to be on a Sunday. So that would be different for TakeOver. I can't recall a TakeOver being on a Sunday before, but I'm no expert. I just act like one. But this is exciting. So, I'm gonna have to see who ends up being Walter's opponent at Blackpool, because I'm sure he will retain that championship all the way to Blackpool. I mean, off the top of my head, I'm just thinking, I mean, Ilya Dragunov just kind of declined Imperium's offer to join their faction, and so, and in doing so, got into fisticuffs with those guys, along with Gallus, which, you know, I mean, Gallus are essentially babyface now, right? I mean, like, we've been going on and on about, like, the turf wars and the, these group or gang, you know, battles, these faction wars in, UK, recently, but the implication of that is I think Gallus are now full-on babyfaces, which is awesome because they're really funny on the mic and they're great in the ring. So so let's do it. I'm all for it. But and on that note, there's Joe Coffey. And there's unfinished business there in a sense because Walter kicked Joe Coffey in the face at Blackpool TakeOver last year. And then I don't really think anything was ever done about that. So that's two candidates right there. And just off the top of my head, I'm not sure if I can really think of anybody else who's in too much of a position to go after Walter. Maybe, I mean, it'd be weird, but like Jordan Devlin just beat Dave Mastiff, gave Dave Mastiff his first pinfall loss. Maybe, or, you know, I don't know, maybe Dave Mastiff comes back on Devlin and beats Devlin to become number one contender or something. I don't know, but but I know Walter's going to be defending the championship. What's going to happen with the women's championship? I mean, I gotta assume it's going to be Kaylee Ray and Piper Niven, you know. But where the hell is Toni Storm? That's what I need to know. We need to know where Toni Storm is. I know she's wearing suplex apparel, but where is she? But I'm assuming that's going to be what we're going to see for the women's championship. The tag team titles could be really, I mean, they could go kind of in any direction at this point. I'd love to see like a multi-team match with some kind of special stip. I mean, a four-team ladder match, maybe. Gallus, British strong style. Well, yeah, why not? Tyler Bate and Trent Seven, they could be part of it. Southwell Subculture, Imperium, the Grizzled Young Veterans. Just throw all the tag teams into one big, huge cluster of a match. Make it a ladder match. Let's just go all out and just have fun with it. Is it time for NXT UK to have a men's mid-card championship? Maybe. Maybe that'd be the time to do it. I don't know if the show needs it or not. I know we've talked about it for a while, but could be. Hey, how about the women's tag team titles that encompass the entire WWE? If assuming that they're still the champions at the time, the Kabuki Warriors versus who would we see? You can't have, Rhea Ripley is basically permanent, just NXT now, so she's out of the picture. But the Kabuki Warriors versus Ginny and Jazzy, maybe Isla Dawn and someone else, man, Isla Dawn and Zaya Brookside or something. Like, I don't know. I mean, that would be cool. I'd love to see them on a UK takeover against some of the UK talent that we've never really seen them interact with too much before. So, all kinds of possibilities. I'm excited. I can't wait. These UK takeovers are always absolutely spectacular. So it's going to be fun to get the gang together over here and watch that. I wish that I could be joining you guys over there at the UK for the show, but I'm going to get over there one day for either an NXT UK taping or an NXT UK takeover show. But so that's the exciting news, and now we can let the speculation begin, and we can watch the stories continue to play out and see what's going to happen, who's going to be wrestling who at this at the third NXT UK takeover ever. Blackpool 2. Excited about it. January 12th, I believe. I hope I'm not wrong. I try not to look up too much stuff because I don't want to know what's happening on the show. Because I want to be able to talk about it with a genuine, clean slate, like in my mind, and not be impacted by things that I've read or seen. So that truly, truly, truly concludes this week's episode of the show. Thank you for hanging out with me while I hang out with myself here in my living room, talking about NXT UK, which, that's normal. I'll just be like, hey, did you see what just happened? And nobody, it's fine. I don't know. Now I'm just blatantly filling time. It's cool. But we'll be back next week. Hopefully my friend and colleague Lee will be all clear of his medical ailments next week and can rejoin the show here with us. And if not, you know, maybe in the future here I'll get Mia on here and she can be my co-host. She watches a lot of this of wrestling with me, and she's familiar with everybody, and yeah, it might be kind of cool to get, like, sort of a fresh take on certain things, because she'll surprise me, because she'll point out things sometimes, where I'm like, oh, I didn't know that you would, like, notice something like that or whatever, because she has been watching this nearly as long as I have. She just got into it when we met. So, because she almost didn't have a choice, really. I don't know. And we'll change things up a little bit here and there. Maybe we'll have a three-person team on here sometimes, and we'll get real crazy. It'll just get totally chaotic and out of control. It'll be a lot of fun. And at some point, maybe we'll get some more people from the UK on the show. Hey, how about that? Get some more British folk to discuss British wrestling. That would be, what a concept, right? That's the thing. Like, I feel so weird about, like, being the person in charge of the show and having been involved with the show for so long is, like, how typical is it for someone from the United States to be acting like the expert on something that is not even, you know, it's like, it's not even based in my own country. And, you know, and so many of these people who are on the show are people that, you know, a lot of our British wrestling audience are extremely familiar with and know a lot about. And then I'm over here like, yeah, I've seen them wrestle like 3 times. It's cool. I can talk about them. All right. So on that note, I'm going to sign off. I'm going to get out of here and I'm going to watch some more wrestling. Looking forward to TakeOver War Games and Survivor Series, Women Ruling Wrestling. Hey, speaking of Women Ruling Wrestling, one more quick bit. It looks like Tessa Blanchard is finally going after the Impact World title at Hard to Kill in January, which, oh my God, I think it's the same day. I just thought about that. I believe it's the same day. I believe the Impact pay-per-view is Sunday night. So that's going to be a good day. It's going to be a great day for wrestling fans. Take over Blackpool 2 in the morning. In the morning for me and at night, Impact. But for most of you guys, because I'm assuming that the overwhelming majority of people who listen to our show are based in the UK, you'll have TakeOver Blackpool in the evening. And then if you want to stay up and watch Impact, you can. Or I guess it would be on like early the next morning or something like that. But I would recommend it to anybody who hasn't watched the Impact product lately, because it's been really, really good for basically the last like 2 years. Don't think about the old like TNA and everything that went so horribly wrong with it in its later years. It's definitely a different product these days, and they are heavily showcasing their women's division as well. And they're really the only major company, in at least in the United States, that is fully embracing intergender wrestling. And it's clear with the direction they've been taking Tessa Blanchard in. All right, so now I'm really, 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 really going to go. Thanks for listening. This is Brent, your host, and I'm going to go drink some coffee.